Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Welcome back to our journey through Western moral philosophy. Today we arrive in the heart of the Middle Ages, where a quiet Dominican friar reshaped the entire framework of Christian thought and left a legacy that still shapes moral philosophy today. His name is Thomas Aquinas. Known as the Angelic Doctor, Aquinas lived in the 13th century, a time when Europe was buzzing with intellectual revival. Aristotle's works had been rediscovered, universities were growing, and Christian theology was wrestling with how to integrate faith with reason. Aquinas took on that challenge and produced a moral philosophy that blended the clarity of Greek reason with the depth of Christian belief. His great work, the Summa Theologiae, became a cornerstone of Catholic teaching and a reference point for Western thought on law, virtue, and happiness.
Thomas Aquinas was born in 1225 in a castle at Rocca Secca in southern Italy. His family were nobles, and his parents had big plans. They wanted young Thomas to rise high in the church. As a boy, he was sent to the Benedictine Abbey of Monte Cassino, a towering monastery founded centuries earlier by Saint Benedict. There, he first tasted monastic life, prayer, and learning. Later, he studied at the University of Naples, where he encountered the newly translated works of Aristotle and the growing influence of Islamic and Jewish philosophers like Averroes and Maimonides. These thinkers stirred his imagination, but Thomas made a choice that scandalized his family. Instead of becoming a powerful abbot or bishop, he joined the humble new order of the Dominican friars, who lived by begging and preaching. His noble family was outraged. They wanted prestige, not poverty. According to one story, his brothers even kidnapped him and locked him in a tower for a year to dissuade him. Yet Thomas was resolute. He felt called to a life of study and service, and nothing could shake him. Finally, his family relented, and Thomas began his journey as a Dominican scholar. Thomas's education brought him to Paris and Cologne, where he studied under the brilliant Albertus Magnus, known as Albert the Great. Albert saw in Thomas a quiet genius. Though his classmates mocked him as a dumb ox for his large frame and slow speech, Albert famously replied, "This ox will bellow so loud that his bellowing will be heard throughout the world." He was right. In Paris, Aquinas absorbed the vibrant debates of the university. The works of Aristotle had just been translated into Latin, and scholars were electrified by his philosophy of logic, ethics, and nature. But Aristotle posed a problem. His naturalism and rational explanations seemed to conflict with Christian doctrine. Could faith and reason coexist? Many feared Aristotle's philosophy might undermine Christianity. Thomas Aquinas set out to prove the opposite, that reason and faith are not enemies, but allies. Aquinas's life work was to bring harmony between Aristotle's philosophy and Christian theology. In his Summa Theologiae, written between 1265 and 1274, he systematically tackled questions about God, morality, law, and human purpose. Imagine it as a vast manual for living well, structured like a classroom debate, with objections and replies, arguments and counterarguments. At its heart is Aquinas's moral vision. He believed that human beings are created with a natural orientation toward the good. Our deepest drive is toward happiness, but not just fleeting pleasure, true, ultimate happiness. For Aristotle, happiness, eudaimonia, was found in living a life of virtue in accordance with reason. Aquinas agreed, but went further. He argued that complete happiness cannot be found in this life alone. Our ultimate fulfillment is union with God, the highest good. Still, reason guides us toward the moral life here and now. Aquinas laid out his famous theory of natural law. He argued that the universe is governed by an eternal law, the divine wisdom of God. Human beings, endowed with reason, participate in this eternal law by discerning natural law, the basic principles of right and wrong inscribed in human nature. At its core, natural law can be summarized simply: do good and avoid evil. From this flow self-evident moral truths: preserve life, seek truth, live in community, raise families, pursue justice. These aren't arbitrary commandments, but rational reflections of what it means to flourish as a human. In Aquinas's vision, morality is grounded not in fear of punishment, but in reason's recognition of our true ends. Aquinas adopted Aristotle's framework of virtues, habits of excellence that shape the soul. He described the four cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Prudence is practical wisdom, the ability to choose rightly in each situation. Justice is giving each their due. Fortitude is courage in adversity. Temperance is moderation of desires. Together, they form the bedrock of moral life. But Aquinas also added three distinctively Christian virtues, which he called theological: faith, hope, and charity. These are not acquired by practice alone, but infused by God's grace. Faith trusts in divine truth. Hope longs for eternal union with God. And charity, love, is the greatest, orienting all virtues toward God and neighbor. For Aquinas, moral life is a journey of both reason and grace. Reason guides us to virtue, and grace lifts us to a supernatural happiness beyond reason's reach. Aquinas placed happiness at the center of morality. He distinguished between imperfect happiness, which we can attain in this life through virtue, friendship, and contemplation, and perfect happiness, which lies only in the vision of God in the afterlife. In this, he tied together Aristotle's ethics of flourishing with Christianity's promise of salvation. He also built a nuanced understanding of law. Eternal law is God's plan for creation. Natural law is our rational participation in it. Human law, the statutes and policies we create, must reflect natural law, or else it isn't true law at all. This idea would echo centuries later in debates about civil rights. Unjust laws, Aquinas said, are not binding in conscience. His teaching laid the groundwork for later ideas of human rights and justice in society. Thomas Aquinas lived a life of study, prayer, and teaching. He was known for his humility and gentleness. Students flocked to his lectures. Despite his brilliance, he never sought power or prestige, only the pursuit of truth. Toward the end of his life, in 1273, something extraordinary happened. After years of writing the Summa, he had a mystical experience during Mass. He was so overwhelmed by the vision of God's reality that he declared, "All that I have written seems like straw compared to what I have seen." He laid down his pen and never wrote again. Within months, he fell ill and died in 1274 at the age of 49. Aquinas's legacy has been immense. Canonized as a saint in 1323, he was later declared a doctor of the church, and his thought became central to Catholic theology. But beyond the church, his synthesis of faith and reason shaped the development of Western philosophy. His natural law theory influenced legal systems and ethics for centuries. Even in modern times, his clarity about virtue, justice, and happiness continues to inspire thinkers seeking a rational, humane basis for morality. What can we take from Aquinas today? In a world often polarized between faith and science, Aquinas reminds us that reason and belief can coexist. He shows us that morality is not arbitrary, but rooted in the nature of human beings and our pursuit of flourishing. He offers a framework where ethics is not just about rules, but about cultivating character and seeking the highest good. His voice tells us, use reason, pursue virtue, love truth, and let your moral life be oriented toward what truly fulfills the human spirit.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Philosophy for Beginners. In our next stage, we will leave the scholastic classrooms and turn to Dante Alighieri, who transformed the medieval vision of morality into poetry. Aquinas built a cathedral of reason and faith in his Summa Theologiae, showing how law, virtue, and happiness all reflect humanity's search for God. Dante, however, will lead us out of a university and into a vast imaginative cosmos where sin and virtue are dramatized in unforgettable images of hell, purgatory, and paradise. But before we leave Aquinas, remember this. He reminds us that philosophy and faith need not be at odds. He shows us that morality is not arbitrary, but grounded in human nature, reason, and the pursuit of flourishing. His voice still calls to us, seek wisdom, cultivate virtue, and orient your life toward what truly fulfills the human spirit. Produced by Selenius Media, music by The Artificial Laboratory.